Within a few days, Snakeman is able to get you guys your warrant. You're allowed to look for anything to do with Daryl Masterson, the missing scientist, and you can look into the chemicals that are supposedly being used in this gun. Ongoing recording isn't really on the table, so you're not going to be able to bug the office or anything like that, but there you are. You are allowed to perform a breaking and entering if you feel necessary, and malware is permitted so long as the only thing it does is look for the information that you're allowed to find.
All right, thanks, Snakeman. I think that's enough for us to work on. Elvis, I'm going to need you to go down to City Hall and get the blueprints for this building. I want to see how we can sneak in there without being caught.
Yes, sir. I'm on it.
I'm going to call the FBI and let them know what we're up to.
Why?
Because we're coordinating and sharing data with each other.
Lowry, someone in that building knows that I have super hearing. Someone in the FBI might be the one who knows I have super hearing.
I sincerely doubt that the FBI is acting as an informant to Mercury.
But why take the risk? Why tip off another agency with personnel that we aren't overseeing?
Because they might be watching the building as well, and if they are, we don't want them to rush in and arrest us when we do our breaking and entering.
Have you already told them that we're looking at this place?
Yes. I'm keeping the FBI abreast of the situation.
Well, great. That means if there's a leak in their system, then the enemy's already been tipped off.
Look, I'm not going to have a stupid argument with you about whether or not we should involve the FBI in an investigation the FBI is already conducting. Okay, they know. It's already done. I'm going to tell them where we're at with it now.
You're an arsonist, Lowry. You know that?
You know, it's funny. As a man who burns so many bridges, you'd think you know what a real arson would look like.
In the midst of the bickering, Elvis, you get out of the building. You head down to City Hall. You get those blueprints. You come back.
Come on, sir. I got the blueprints.
Okay, let's look for a utility closet or a bathroom or something where there's not likely to be a camera inside.
Yeah, it does look like this office space does have a small private bathroom.
All right, kid. You're going to teleport you and me into this bathroom. Try not to put us in the toilet.
Well, with the exact measurements like this, I can get us right in there.
Kimon, I don't know if you recall, but I am in charge of field operations now.
You know what? You haven't been out in the field, so I genuinely forgot, Lowry.
I didn't know you needed my help to coordinate watching a stationary building.
Well, what would the field commander like us to do?
I'm fine with the two of you teleporting into the building, but I'm going to stay on site with the Freeze-mobile. I want you two to keep in touch and keep me in the loop.
Lowry, the Freeze-mobile is bright blue and orange and has your logos all over it.
It also has most of the radio equipment that we need to coordinate. I'll park it far away.
You're gonna have kids posting your location on Instagram within minutes.
I'm gonna park it in a parking garage a good distance away. I'll be available for emergencies.
Kimon, sir, if we're supposed to be discreet, my suit actually enhances my teleportation. I can't take us both in there without it.
See, you're gonna be conspicuous anyways.
Can you teleport us between rooftops?
Yeah, I could cover that distance. I mean, it would get really exhausting if I had to do a lot of jumps, but I could.
Okay, then here's the plan. We're also going to put ourselves in a nearby parking garage. You're going to take us on top of the next building closest to the place, and we're going to keep going until we're above them. From there, take us down into this bathroom. After that, we're going to navigate around security, we're going to get that USB stick into something, and then we're going to leave.
What's the plan if we get caught?
Once you get your virus in the computer, is that going to be enough to get the information we need?
Well, I mean, it's going to depend a lot on, you know, their setup, but maybe.
All right, well then, number one priority is get your virus on a computer, and then we leave, no matter what.
Okay, I understand.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Field Commander?
Call me right away if anything goes wrong, Flux.
Yes, sir.
The following night, you guys are in your positions. Lowry, you've got to get a pretty decent ways away. Your car is super recognizable, so we'll say you're like, a 7-minute drive, maybe 5 with the sirens on. Meanwhile, Elvis and Paul, you guys get up on the rooftops, and after a couple of teleporting hops, you're over your target.
All right, Lowry, we're about to go in.
All right, good luck, guys.
Oh, wait, hold on. Lowry, if you see a street taco truck, pick me up something, okay?
Let's try to keep calls to a minimum unless they're serious, thanks.
Hey, I'm sorry about that, Elvis. Don't worry. After this, I'll buy us street tacos.
I don't do that good with spicy food.
Whatever. Take us down.
Okay, I take Kimon by the hand, and I teleport us in.
Down you go, and you land in a private restroom in the office space. It's right where you meant to be, but Paul, as you get oriented, you realize that you're hearing a voice in another room. And then you realize it's a television set. Somebody's watching television in another room.
Shh, keep quiet. There's somebody here.
Okay, listen real carefully. I'm going to try to echolocate them.
Just outside the bathroom is the main office space. Seems like a wide-open rectangle. You can hear the hum of machinery, probably lab stuff. The TV sounds are coming from further down. Probably a security office.
All right, I think they're distracted, but this is going to complicate things. If there's motion systems out there, those guys are going to be tripped off as soon as we go outside, so we're going to have to figure out a plan.
Elvis, your phone rings. Do 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 do. It's your mom.
Oh my god.
I'm so sorry. I told my mom to only call in an emergency. So she might be in an emergency right now.
You hear the sound of several people getting up from that security room. You hear somebody go, "Hey, is someone there?"
Oh, is your mom in an emergency, Flux?
I don't know. Hello, Mom?
You're taking the call?
Hi, honey. How's it going?
Hi, Mom. Are you in trouble?
Okay, all right. I grab a roll of toilet paper, and I pull my pants down.
What are you doing?
When things go tits up, lean into it.
One of the people outside says, "Who's in there? Come out now!" The voice sounds very familiar, but you can't quite place it.
Hold on! Hold on! I flush the toilet, and then I stumble outside with my pants down.
Well, Kimon, the Slayer of Men, wanders out into this room with his twig and berries on display.
I'm waving the toilet paper above my head. Don't shoot! I'm just an old man!
There are three men out here. One of them is Heatstroke, and he's wielding some kind of large, super science-y looking gun. More pertinent to you, however, Paul, is that the man standing next to him is your son, Howard. A tall man with broad shoulders and a powerful build and a long, thin mustache. He shaved his head mostly bald, and when he sees you, he says, "Dad?"
"Howard!"
"Why are your pants off?"
Well, I start pulling my pants back up. "Because, as it turns out, I have discovered your criminal organization. And I have come to poop in your toilets. And there's nothing you can do to stop me, because it's already done."
There is a third guy with your son in Heatstroke. You recognize him as the missing scientist. Heatstroke goes, "That's him! That's the dog! That's the dog!" Howard puts his hands on his head. He looks mortified. Flux, meanwhile, your mom is trying to understand what's going on. "Is everything okay? You said you were just sitting outside watching buildings all day. It should be fine if I called, right?"
"Oh, no, Mom. I thought that maybe you, like, fell down and slipped and broke your, like, legs or something. I can't talk right now."
Heatstroke goes, "You can't fool us, Kimon. Howie Lee knew you were coming." And Howard, like, walks away with his hands on his head. He kind of paces a full circle. Heatstroke goes, "You knew he was coming, right?" And Howard goes, "Yeah. But why? Why like this?"
"It's psychological warfare, Howard. You know that Russian FSB agents sometimes poop in a guy's briefcase just so that he knows he's being watched by him, and there's nothing he can do. Same thing here. You guys are being watched. Who knows what I'm gonna poop in next?"
Howard says, "Do you have dementia?"
"No. Why? Is my doctor talking to you? I told him I don't have dementia. He's the one who's got dementia. He's standing between me and protecting this city."
"Oh my god. Of course, you know. What would it be, Dad, except for old age that does you in finally? Wouldn't that just be amazing?"
"Wait a minute. Howard, did you tell these people that I have super hearing? Are you telling them about my powers?"
Heatstroke goes, "You better watch out. Don't talk to him like that. We're in charge. This gun makes my powers like 100 times stronger."
I kick my sandal off into the gun.
Whoop crack! You kick your sandal at supersonic speeds. It hits the gun, and the gun shatters into pieces. Heatstroke is now holding several segments of what used to be a weapon. He looks at it and he goes, "Oh."
"Shut up!"
"And Elvis, your mom. I'm really sorry, honey. I hope I didn't get you into trouble again."
"Oh, no, Mom. I mean, it's fine. I'm sure that the leftovers were really important. They're probably starting to mold. I gotta go, though. I really gotta go."
"Okay, all right. I love you. Goodbye."
"I love you too, Mom. I love you. Goodbye."
And Elvis, putting his phone away, comes outside.
"This is Elvis. He's also here to poop, but he didn't eat enough fiber."
"I'm here to what?"
Heatstroke says, "What do we do?" Howard says, "Take Masterson and run for it. I'll hold them off." Masterson and Heatstroke start running for the exit.
"Oh, hold it! You're under arrest, you two! And I teleport in front of the exit."
"Hold on, Flux."
"Oh, no, you don't!" Howard yells, and he does a flying kick. Hits you in the head. 12 body.
What? Okay, I'm unconscious.
Oh my god.
Heatstroke and Masterson run past Flux's unconscious body. "Your friend can't help you now," Howard says.
"Yeah, well, he couldn't help much before. Oh, speaking of unhelpful people, Lowry, are you listening?"
"This had better not be another request for fast food, Kimon."
"Situation is foobar. Masterson and Heatstroke are headed for the exit. Try to get there and intercept if you can."
"See? Aren't you glad I'm here? I start up the car."
Howard says, "Your friend Freeze Frame's no match for Heatstroke. And you're no match for me."
"You really screwed up today, Howard."
"I'm not the one who screwed up."
"Yes, you have, and let me count the ways. First, you had plausible deniability until you kicked what is effectively a cop in the head. You might not have been a criminal before that, but congrats, now you are. Second, you sent Heatstroke away, which was a foolish move before you had the advantage of numbers, and I don't know if I could fight if my lungs were filling up with scalding air. Third, what is that stance you're taking? That's not the swaying ginkgo style that I taught you. That looks more like a Muay Thai stance."
"I dabbled in Muay Thai some, And I know that you prefer to do upright striking, so...
Howard, I prefer to stay upright in a group fighting situation, but now it's just me and you. We can go to the ground and no one's going to save you.
He awkwardly widens his stance out a little bit more and is clearly hoping that you don't notice.
So what is this, Howard? You've decided to betray me?
You don't have dementia.
No, and I didn't poop in your bathroom either. But if you're going to stand in opposition to me, Howard, I will poop somewhere. I will poop where you least expect it and when it will most harm you. What do you think this is?
You don't scare me.
Well, you should be scared because... Is Flux awake yet?
I'm going to have to go to the hospital and get my brain checked after this.
Because I think you've killed that kid.
Howard nudges Elvis with his foot. He's not really a kid.
I throw the toilet paper at Howard.
Crack! With supersonic precision, you toss a roll of toilet paper at Howard. Now, someone who hasn't trained with you for much of their life might have been surprised by this, but you've pulled this on Howard too many times. He ducks underneath it. We're now at the top of 12. Paul, you get to go again.
You've been watching too many comics and reading too many movies, Howard. Gonna take a defensive stance?
I had it all planned out, Howard yells. And he runs up to attack you, but you dodge and weave and won't let him get close to you. Your turn?
Okay, I go for the crotch kick.
You land it, but thuck! Your shin bangs against a reinforced cup.
You've just been wearing that all day long.
I had a whole speech planned. I was gonna tell you all the things I hate about you. He tries another combo.
Abort dodge.
You abort into a defensive stance. He won't let him near you.
Well, you know what I hate about you? The incessant whining. Why do you always have to do everything the wrong way, Howard?
Howard goes in for another furious combo, but again, you just won't stay in range. He's starting to get winded. You don't know anything about right.
Look at you. You've fallen back into your Muay Thai stance. All you've done is structured training with safety barriers, haven't you? I'm gonna wait until he takes his next action.
Okay, in that case, he circles you and catches his breath.
Okay, in that case, tackle him for a takedown.
You grab him underneath the legs and throw him to the ground. Luckily for him, he's well-trained enough to at least put you in the guard position, so he's got his legs wrapped around you.
And I hit him in the face.
Pop. That would have killed an ordinary man, but mostly it just breaks your son's nose.
There we go. Little blood. Half of that's mine, you know.
Howard explosively shunts out from underneath you, shoving with his hands and propelling himself with his legs. Once he gets a little distance away, he hops up into kind of a football hike position, and he wipes the blood from his nose.
If your friend were still here, he could have kicked me in the head while I was on top of you. But oh well.
You can see the fear in Howard's eyes as he begins to realize the disadvantage he's at. He takes a defensive stance.
I grab a computer monitor and throw it at him.
Crack! But your son catches it. Which honestly is pretty much a superhuman feat. That's pretty great for him.
Oh, you caught it! Okay, now throw it back. We'll play catch like father and son.
He loses his temper and he throws it at you.
Okay, abort dodge.
Yeah, it's not the supersonic throw that you do. It's more like a gorilla strength throw. You duck underneath it.
You never could throw. That's why they made you stand in the outfield during baseball.
He angrily grabs another computer monitor and throws that one as well. Which you duck underneath again.
All right, now I remember why we never play catch. This is embarrassing.
I hate you!
I'll run up and I'll try out a combo.
He handles you, he blocks it, and then he grabs you, turns around and throws you through the window.
Oh, like through the glass.
Yeah, 8 body damage there, and now you are free-falling from 3 stories up.
Ow. All right, that makes me very angry. I apply this overriding hatred to the situation.
As you're falling, pure concentrated anger bubbles up to the surface, then bursts from you like a dam. An overwhelming feeling of terror and dread washes over everyone and everything within 2 city blocks. Lowry, your car is approaching the location you need to be, and the hairs on the back of your neck stand completely up on end.
Ugh. Okay, I slam on the brakes.
Yeah, you and everybody else. Car alarms go off in the distance. You see rats scurrying out of the gutters. And Paul, physics, being terrified of what you'll do if you become more angry, decides not to hit back when you collide with the pavement. You slam against the ground, but suffer no force whatsoever. There's still some broken glass stuck in your back, but that's another issue. If this weren't enough for everyone in the area, above you, there's another feeling that erupts into the atmosphere, but this is one of sadness. Regret, insecurity, and fear wash across the area as your son lands, and then his body kind of accordions like a cartoon and wobbles a bit before taking its natural shape. That's right. I finally mastered the secret power.
Are you kidding me? No, you haven't. The world is supposed to be terrified of you and gets out of your way. You got out of the way of the world.
Well, it's the same material difference. I didn't get hurt from the
fall.
Okay,
yes, but I just watched you Bugs Bunny your way from a 3-story building.
It's not Bugs Bunny, Dad. Bugs Bunny would have stopped mid-fall.
Then okay, you Daffy Ducked. Which is worse, son?
Okay, Lowry, back where you're at, all the cars have stopped, people have started getting out of their cars, you're kind of trapped in traffic.
Okay, turn on the siren, honk the horn, get out of the way! Hey, you're blocking traffic!
The people kind of look around, they're like, it's freeze frame! Thank God you're here!
Yeah, get out of the way!
Paul, back where you are, a beat-up truck pulls into the alleyway. Heatstroke is driving, he yells, get in! Your son hops into the truck bed and they start to drive away.
Ah, not so fast. I'm gonna hop up in there with him.
All right, give me dexterity. Let's see if you get there.
Here we go.
All right, you jump up and you leap on the back of the truck. You're holding on to the door that opens the trailer. Your son then leans down and quickly unlocks that door. It flips down and you're thrown away. The truck drives off, turning onto a sidewalk to avoid the traffic, and then it's gone from your sight. About 4 or 5 minutes later, Lowry has managed to dislodge the traffic, and he pulls up into the alleyway.
What's going on? Why are you out here?
Well, Sleeping Beauty, you took all your sweet time in the world and everyone got away.
Okay, if you guys botched the job and got caught, that's on you, not on me.
Why did we even have you as a contingency if you're not close enough to support?
Well, which way did they go? Point it out, we'll pursue.
They drove away in a truck, and I don't know where they are now.
Well, they can't have gotten far. Didn't you feel all that stuff that was happening? Everybody has parked their cars and they're looking around like a meteor's about to strike.
Yeah, of course I felt all that stuff.
Did you see what caused it?
No, some civilian on the other end of the alley got freaked out. I don't know, self-defense mechanism or something. She ran off too.
Okay, wild. So some kind of like empath power?
I guess.
Did it do anything?
No, you just got a lot of feelings and then she was gone.
Okay. Where is Flux?
Probably dead. Maybe.
Dead?
I said maybe. Come on, let's go get him. Or his body, at least.
You guys go to the front of the building, you try to open the door, and it's locked.
So hello! I hope you guys have been enjoying the series so far. If you have, I really appreciate support on Patreon. You can find me under Don Somewhere. I've also got a website, donsomewhere.com, where you can find links to stuff that I've done, and also updates on new episodes when I remember I can use my website to do that. Now, if you haven't heard, Apple is making a unilateral change to Patreon's billing structure. It sounds weird, I know, but they're a major monopoly power, so they can, in fact, just do that, and they're doing it. So don't donate through Apple because they're going to take 30% of all of the income. And if you feel you can support, then I'd really appreciate that because I'm concerned about all that being an issue in the future. So either way, I hope you're having a fantastic time and you're looking forward to the next one.